This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Last weekend, Jeff and I went to Missouri, to St. Louis and Kansas City, and tried a ton of beer and brought a lot back with us. And so tonight we're going to do the St. Louis leg of the journey, and we have beers from Schlafly, from Urban Chestnut, and from Four Hands. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Britton and Joel Miner, Steve Williamson, and on Skype from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. Going.
Fantastic.
We have beer. We have microphones. I think it's enough for a Beer of the Day podcast.
Yeah, this is our longest hiatus.
It has been. It's been a couple of weeks since our last show. Last week we had a kind of a repeat from the past, blast from the past, and that was fun, but it's time for some new stuff here. But before we get to the first beer, anyone have any beers this week they wanted to mention?
Andy, I think you and I had a beer. So we hit this golf range across the street from this bar that has like a ton of beer, and we got into this conversation with these guys, and Andy's like, oh my gosh, after talking to these guys and these guys just nonstop talking for 45 minutes to us, it's like the worst conversation I ever started. And Andy like walks to me, he's like, do not invite them to the bar across the street. So we went over there and we escaped these guys, and we got a beer, and it was really good at a bar there called Allagash Interlude. It is a 10% ale.
Was the bar called Allagash Interlude?
No, no. The bar was called Alley Cats.
Oh.
It was across the street from a golf range. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all good. So it's a 10-month fermented and conditioned beer. It was a Belgian Saison like kind of mix, but it came out really sour and pear tasting, like a sour pear. And it was a really impressive beer. I think we had quite a few of them, like 2 days in a row.
So, I mean, the first night, we must have ordered, I don't know, four or five between the two of us. And you said really sour, and I don't want that to mislead people, because it's not really sour. It's really sour Saison. Like,
right, yeah.
There's a lot of other flavor there besides the sour, but it is sour. It was amazing.
And it came in at 10%, and it was just a great beer. Yeah,
you can get yourself in trouble like we did.
Yeah, we did.
Sounds like fun. All right, well, let's get into the first beer of the night. We have from Schlafly. This is their Saison. 6.2% in the big bottle.
So this was recommended to us when Dallas and I were there. We didn't have this, but the bartender, I think he said it was probably his favorite beer there. You know, he really recommended that we get this. So we got a big bottle each to bring home.
Pretty light.
Yeah, right.
Super light.
Right off the bat, color wise, it's kind of a pale yellow. Nice amount of like bubbly carbonation. Kind of a thin white head on the top.
So I got to ask a question. Clear. Do you guys normally find that saisons have a lower alcohol content than like an ale, or is that just like what I see? It's like more brewed that style.
I think in general they have higher.
Seems like it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think in general, Schlafly's shoot for kind of a more lower alcohol content, more drinkable beer. So we got the Saison at 6.2, and we have a IPA coming up at 5%. So they kind of keep it lower, keep it drinkable, kind of their mentality.
The first thing I noticed on this color look for the carbonation and smell-wise is like a kind of a strong Chardonnay.
Yes.
Yeah. Like everything about it right now, I feel like I'm drinking or looking at a Chardonnay.
It's got that
smell, and on the nose,
it's got that farmhouse funk smell.
Very
good way.
Minor though.
In a good way.
I'm with Steve.
It's like a fruity yeasty smell. I like it.
So this is quite a very light beer. I mean, it has very light mouthfeel. I'm getting, you know, a little bit of a lemon taste. It has kind of those, that farmhouse yeast kind of characteristic.
Yeah.
Not very much on the aftertaste, kind of very abbreviated aftertaste.
It's like a champagne with dirt in it, and like in a good way, you know.
It's pretty reserved.
Hops in here, it's the lemon drop hops, and I think that lends to a lot of the flavor. It's crisp. It's really dry, like, and I like the carbonation of this. It's pretty nicely carbonated with a really like a, you know, quick dry finish.
We say it a lot when we have a beer like this, but this is a hot summer day beer.
Mm-hmm.
You just got done mowing the lawn. You come in the house, and this is the beer you want to drink in that situation.
Yep.
This would go great with some fish.
Yeah.
Some white fish.
Yep.
It really is like a Chardonnay. Even though it looks like a Chardonnay bottle, even.
It does.
It does. That's impressive.
This is good. This is really the first beer I've had in a week. After the weekend and I guess like 4 or 5 days that Dallas and I had last week, I needed a break. I didn't have a single beer all week. So this is really nice. Nice way to start out the weekend.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't have a beer for 2 days, which is a long time for me.
3 hours without having a beer.
Record setting.
I like this. I could drink this all day.
Unfortunately, we can't. We have other beers to try. But before that, let's get into the beer news of the day. What's in the beer news today, Britton?
So I ran into an article about co-op breweries, and there are only 4 in the United States. And the article talked about Fair State Brewing, which is in Minnesota, and Minnesota is known for co-ops in general. So everything that they do, the businesses that they do, are all co-ops. And so you guys want to own part of a brewery?
Yeah, how much does it cost? That's the real question.
So this is why I was like, this is amazing. Member owners pay a fee of $200 for a lifetime membership.
One time?
One time.
Pretty reasonable.
For an individual, or $300, Joel, for a household.
That's you and me.
Could it be the beer of the day household?
They get a little discount.
I don't know.
Can we all just chip in 30 and
so what that gets you though is that you're able to vote on the board, you're able to decide how revenue is distributed, and sometimes, although it hasn't happened yet, they share profits.
Yeah, there hasn't even been any profit yet,
but
for now you just get to vote.
Sounds familiar, huh, Dal and Jeff?
But if you become a diamond member and you recruit 70 other people.
That's a very a cool concept, though. I mean, people who,
yeah,
you know, want to get involved, I mean, they have that ability to do that.
Well, and there's been a lot of, you know, not the co-op, but there's the, you know, the growler clubs and stuff like that, where they're just trying to get some capital up front. So they'll sell, you know, they give you a great deal on, you know, 100 growler fills. And it's a good way to generate some capital. But it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I don't think that from a co-op perspective that a bunch of people are going to make a bunch of money off of this. It's more of, you know, just for the love of the beer, yep. You know?
Exactly. So I think just from a community perspective, you know, if you go there all the time, you're invested in it financially, you know, you get to probably, it's kind of a club, you know, you get to know people. You get to have some input on the direction, the types of beer, give feedback. It's a pretty neat idea.
It's kind of like the Green Bay Packers, how they're owned by all these people. Like the community owns them. It's not an individual person. And I think it's kind of a good analogy.
Yeah, definitely. if that was a if they had one of those here, I would definitely consider it. I think it's a pretty neat idea.
I think an interesting thing too is that it kind of introduces like a democratic process to the business, because the co-op owners or whoever they are voting who's on the board, and the board makes the decisions, right? So that has implications for all sorts of stuff, that how the business is run.
Okay, let's get into the next beer. We have the Grapefruit IPA, 5%. Another Schlafly beer. So we picked this one specifically because Grapefruit IPA, I mean, we've all had the Sculpin, and so I think it's good to try this is a Midwestern version of that same type of beer. And talking to people there, it seemed like this is probably one of the most popular, just sitting at the bar and seeing what people came up and ordered.
This is also pretty light colored, maybe just a little like slightly more golden than the last one, a little bit more hazy.
Yeah, a little more head. Very white head.
An IPA at 5%, though, that shocks me.
Yeah, low alcohol.
It's really in that range of Session IPA, which I love so much.
It is, and I think we kind of raised that point, and they were like, you know, they didn't consider it Session, you know, it's just IPA. It's like just comes in at the low end.
The lowest end.
So I don't really get any grapefruit on the smell.
Just nope, mild hoppy aroma.
Yeah.
Not a lot of grapefruit.
A mild hoppy, but it smells really fresh. Like I'm getting a lot of like fresh scents from it. It
smells pretty West Coast to me.
I don't get grapefruit.
No, I don't get the hop aroma. No, I mean, not like a West Coast hop. I get like a... I don't want to be misleading by saying like freshly cut wet grass, but because it's not the grass, it's more of like just that freshness of it, you know?
Leafy smell.
Or like, well, I was going to say like I get floral hops, not so much grapefruit, but I get like grassy or floral hops. I think the grapefruit is very subtle. This is very different from Grapefruit Sculpin.
So I didn't get any grapefruit up front, but on the finish, you know how when you're like you eat a piece of grapefruit and at first it's sweet and then it goes crazy like the tart bitter of a grapefruit? That's what I got on the finish.
On the taste, it tastes like grapefruit to me. It tastes more like grapefruit than IPA. I mean, it tastes like grapefruit juice to me.
So one of the things about the Schlafly beers, they have several different ones that were fruit flavored, but they basically breweries will do like fruit puree that's added in later in the process. They're kind of putting this in at the very beginning. So it ends up being a subtle characteristic of the beer, and which is a lot different where like on Sculpin Grapefruit IPA, you really get grapefruit. Yeah. Grapefruit, you really get the grapefruit. So this is just adds a little bit of a subtle characteristic. And so we had the, raspberry
Hefeweizen,
and
which was one of their most popular beers.
It was, and we, you know, I'm always a little hesitant. I think it's going to be too fruity, and it's just a little hint of it in there. So they kind of keep the fruitiness reserved, and so it really still ends up being this is really more of an IPA. You taste more IPA than you taste grapefruit.
So that raspberry Hefeweizen was cool because it was kind of pink colored, which I don't drink pink beer normally. but it was good. Like Dallas said, they put real fruit in the beer, which I'm sure not every place does. They use real fruit and they use it in the, you know, primary fermentation. And I think it just speaks to the quality of the beer that they can do that. I thought it was excellent. It was not initially, we didn't even order it. We ordered everything on the menu except that. And it wasn't intentional, but we had like the way their tasters were for the math to work out. We had to leave one beer out. We left out the raspberry Hefeweizen, and then we ended up adding it back in, and it was one of the best beers they had.
They had 13 beers, and we could only get 12 tasters. So,
so there's something about this beer that I don't like, and I'm going to explain it, but I don't know if you guys have ever had an avocado that wasn't ripe enough, and when you taste it, it's just not ripe enough, and so it has like this like fresh, like I'm short of words here, but
where are we going with this?
Like a grassy, like you said, like the grass flavor. There's something to it where it's like it's not fully like complex enough, or not like at its like end state. So I don't know. I don't like it.
It's just kind of lacking flavor.
So you know, my knock on session IPAs in general is that they're missing. I say missing a chromosome, but it's missing some alcohol and the flavor you get from making that alcohol. If you slapped the session label on this, this would be my favorite session IPA I've ever had. With that said, I do agree with Joel that not to the extent where I don't like it, but I do. There is still something missing. It's not quite what it says it is.
It's light for an IPA. Yeah. I think that's what it really kind of boils down to.
So I think we didn't mention something here, but this Schlafly is the kind of like the original craft brewery in St. Louis. It's been around since 1991. It's pretty old by craft beer standards. And I didn't really realize this at the time, but on the bottles it says the St. Louis Brewery. That's the name of the brewery, and they make Schlafly beer. But this is kind of like the staple of St. Louis craft breweries.
Yeah, so St. Louis is a Anheuser-Busch town. But I think the laws have, you know, there was restrictions on breweries and, you know, who could brew and serve and stuff. And they've opened up recently, and there's a lot of politics still going on. But it seems to be like a lot of new breweries are opening up in St. Louis. We went to quite a few of them, and we have this is the biggest of them for sure.
And they're all very, everybody we talked to is very like anti Anheuser-Busch. It's pretty interesting. It was not exactly what I expected, but I guess it makes sense.
They should probably move. They're living in the wrong place if they're anti Anheuser-Busch.
Right. And so I'd never had a Schlafly beer before. They don't distribute to California. It's mainly stay within the Midwest. And it was kind of an interesting thing. They said, yeah, you know, California, there's so much beer there. It's a tough market to crack. And they haven't done it. But the beer was really good. I was impressed with them. And I thought, you know, if they wanted to, they could. I mean, if Clown Shoes, this little brewery in Massachusetts, can distribute to California, Schlafly certainly could, I would say. I'm not an expert in these things, though. So, bring your beer here. I'll buy it. You got one so far.
They got one.
We're expert drinkers, not distributors.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so next beer, we have the third and final beer from Schlafly. We have the Oatmeal Stout. Climbing up the scale here to 5.7%.
Woo, Superhead. Look at that. It's beautiful.
Now, Schlafly, I think, is sort of, I got the feeling that they're kind of known for their stouts. Even before we went to the brewery, I went and checked out the grocery store just to get a feel of St. Louis beers. And they have a stout variety pack where I've never seen that before. There were like four beers. They're all stouts. And, you know, we sat there. I think they had, like Dallas said, 13 beers on tap. And at least five or six were stouts. I mean, they
had a
vanilla stout, vanilla milk stout, chocolate milk stout, coffee stout,
it's
oatmeal
16,
stout.
16 and 16 six were stouts.
Yeah, Irish stout, you That's know, right one or two alley. Of them were on nitro. But lots of stouts. But we were also there right before their, what was it called? The Stout and Oyster Festival.
Yeah.
So I think it was partly the timing that they had a lot of stouts on tap.
Yeah, their vanilla stout was really good. Their coffee stout was really good. There was really, I mean, solid lineup they had
there. I
was
actually thinking on the nose when I dug into this one, it has a very, not very strong, it has a vanilla extract kind of smell to it. I had like vanilla oatmeal is what I got.
Very mild. A little toasted malt smell with a little vanilla for sure.
I just
dark, I mean, not super dark brown, but dark brown. And then kind of a tan head.
I like a beer with a good head on it. This qualifies.
So Andy and I are making a porter right now. Well, Andy, Britton, and I are making a porter.
What's the name of it?
Britton's Precious Porter.
And, you know, it's going to be probably the same alcohol content, about 5.1 to 5.2%. This is what I'm hoping, even close to what our beer tastes like. I mean, this is a great all around.
I don't want to like disappoint you, Joel, but I don't think our beer is going to taste anything like this.
Well, I know. But for like, you know, stout and porters aren't far off. And this is a really good dark beer.
But there's a ton of the oat flavor in this.
Yeah. It's good.
Well, we don't have any oats because Britain wouldn't let us put them in there.
And that's why it's called Britain's Precious Porter. Precious.
This is really sweet to me.
It's quite sweet. I get a little breadiness, like maybe graham cracker or something. And then definitely oaty.
Yeah, very oaty.
I think the body's like, it's not real heavy though. This is a very drinkable stout.
It is.
5.7%. It's not heavy. You know, some stouts have a kind of very lingering heaviness. And this is like very easy to drink.
I think this is a really good stout.
People who say, I don't like dark beer. You know,
give them this beer and let them tell you that they don't like dark beer.
But as opposed to like a brown ale or something, I think more people would be open to this because, I like Britton said, the sweetness, the oatiness, like it's easy to drink and it's very flavorful. I think it's smooth and sweet. I think this is a really high quality oatmeal stout.
All the flavors work well together. It's not overly sweet. It's the perfect amount of what's there. Nothing is overpowering anything else.
It's good. Yeah, it's a great balanced beer.
It's easy drinking for the style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I drink a lot of stouts and it's a little bit too sweet for me.
It's sweeter than a typical stout would be for sure.
Yeah. But it's not bad.
No.
It's just...
I like it a lot.
It's a little bit sweeter than I would prefer.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have two more breweries to try. Two from Urban Chestnut and three from Four Hands. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoyed this podcast and the Beer of the Day website and would like to support us, you can do so by shopping on Amazon. And all you have to do is go to the Beer of the Day website, beeroftheday.com. There's an Amazon banner somewhere on the right-hand side of the screen. I'm not really sure where I'm going to put it yet, but you'll see it. And just click on that, do your regular shopping, and we get a little percentage, a little kickback from Amazon for your purchases. It does not cost you a single cent more, and it helps us out a lot. For example, just today, as a matter of fact, somebody bought Best Home Fashion Wide Width Thermal Insulated Blackout Curtain Antique Bronze Grommet Top Beige 100 inches wide. Sounds like a pretty good product. If you have to sleep in the daytime, it's good to have a blackout curtain.
Or to murder somebody.
And wrap them up and put them in your Cadillac trunk.
How's it got to be a Cadillac?
That's what I would do.
Buick.
Either way, Cadillac or Buick, the person came, one of our listeners, obviously, purchased this, and we got some commission on it. They paid $74. We got $4.44. That may be a record.
Woo!
On the biggest purchase ever through the Beer of the Day website. So thank you very much, Blackout Curtain purchaser. We thank you. And we hope that if you like this podcast, you will shop on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. Also, if you want to help us out and you don't like shopping online, you prefer to have it in your hand and at the store and tangible, one of those people, you can help us out by letting your friends know about us. So if you have friends that like beer, and I'm sure you do because a lot of people do, tell them about the Beer of the Day podcast and send them the link to it, beerofthedaypodcast.com, or even better, show them how to download a podcast on their phone. Download the podcast app, subscribe to Beer of the Day. And that's going to help us out a lot. We are a fairly new podcast. This is our 40th episode. And we can use all the listeners we can get. So friends that like beer, send them to Beer of the Day. All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. We're switching breweries now. We're moving away from the Schlafly and moving on to Urban Chestnut. Our first beer is the Apotheosis French Style Saison. And Andy's going to pour it here.
There's always going to be one podcast where Andy pours beer on himself, and he just did.
He was a little over exuberant in the opening of this one. So it turns out that Urban Chestnut was the first brewery we went to in St. Louis, and just a short Uber drive away, and very cool place. We were there at 11 in the morning, so not too many patrons on hand, but they were happy to help us and poured us all the beers they had, and we got to try them all, and it was very good place, good ambiance. It's kind of your typical smaller craft brewery, and if you're ever in St. Louis, for sure you have to go to Urban Chestnut.
Well, actually, what we did, we took an Uber to a barbecue place, Pappy's Barbecue, which was delicious, and then we walked. We had such a big, like, delicious meal of barbecue that we walked from Pappy's to Urban Chestnut.
Was Pappy there? Is that a curiosity?
No, Pappy's dead.
That's too bad.
But we walked to this place. Yeah, it was early in the day. This was actually the first, you know, brewery that we went to on the St. Louis trip.
And those ribs were good.
They were.
It's going to be nice to compare this. We have, you know, two French Saisons today, so like comparing it to the Schlafly.
So this is very low carbonation. It's a golden yellow color, one finger of white head, very white, crisp head, and then the just very few bubbles in it. Compared to the first Saison we had, this is less carbonated.
I get a little bit more of a fruit smell on the nose, maybe like some apple than the Schlafly.
It smells sweet.
It does smell sweet.
You said apple while I was taking my first sip, and I really get an apple taste to this.
Dang it. I wish you guys wouldn't have said that, but yeah, now I really taste a lot of apple on it.
Like, as soon as he said apple, I was drinking apple juice for a minute.
It's very green apple. It's, you know, that first one had a lot of lemon characteristic. This,
yes.
This is more, you know, just green apple.
And I'm not getting any of that Chardonnay feel or taste that I was getting from that first one. Just none of that.
It's a lot, a lot dirtier.
Yeah, more of like a lager than I am getting it's, like the first one.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's less dry and sweeter, I'd say.
Well, and the thing about this brewery that I really thought right off the bat was they made, like, you know, we had one of everything like we usually do. But they have a lot of German style beers, and that was kind of a theme of the entire trip. But they had so many German styles, some of their lighter beers, and every single one was very crisp and clean and just very like high quality. You know, they have a couple of their like core beers and we didn't bring those back, but I think they're really known for these crisp and clean German beers. And this kind of, it's a French style saison, but it kind of has that same characteristic.
I think it has. I'm getting a little bit of like an iron or metallic taste in this one that I'm not caring for.
But I think the sweetness, they've kind of got a good amount of sweetness in there. When I say good, I mean like a really well balanced sweetness to it. It's not overly sweet, and I think it adds to the flavors of what you're looking for in this saison. And it's got a little bit of that farmhouse funk.
I'd say there's quite a bit of the funk on the end, like,
but the sweetness kind of balances it out. It makes it nice.
But do you guys get some tart on the finish, like, you know, maybe that green apple tartness? Yes. That you'd get from like a Granny Smith apple.
I get it more up front
definitely. Then I think this is just a little bit more heavily bodied version of the Schlafly. I guess that's the saison style in general is gonna be pretty light, but I mean, this one just feels a little bit heavier.
A thicker mouthfeel for sure.
French. For the Frenchness.
All right. So next beer, we have the STL IPA, St. Louis IPA. It was a pretty easy choice bringing this one back.
So this is a double IPA, right?
Yes. Imperial. 8%. That's the giveaway.
I wouldn't mind if Andy didn't fill my glass up this time and he went to town.
I wanted to make sure you got enough.
So it's...
Wait. Back to the pronunciation. It's on the bottle.
Stalipo.
Perfect. They're going to walk us through it.
Stalipa.
There's an E in between the T and the E L there, right? Stalipa?
I don't know. They phonetically spell it, so it's Stalipa.
Well, I'm pretty sure when we ordered this at the brewery, we got corrected because whatever we said was not correct.
Yeah, so can I have an STL IPA? They're like, it's Stalipa, goddammit. I said, all right, fine. Stalipa.
That was the giveaway. We were on a beercation and we were not the locals.
This is golden colored. It looks almost identical to the previous beer with just slightly more golden.
A little more copper.
A little more copper.
A bit.
But the head's the same, white head, very lightly carbonated.
It's got a little bit of the brown sugar smell to it, with a little bit of hops in it.
Hops for sure. It smells like more of an East Coast IPA.
Yeah, I just had a big sip, and this is very different from what we're used to drinking on the West Coast.
I love it. This is a dank.
I like it too.
There's definitely a dank aroma. Like,
yeah, there's a little dankness.
Smells a little weedy.
To me, it's a little bit grassier than the ones that we're used to drinking, and it's a little bit more syrupy.
Marijuana.
Yeah, and here's the thing I like about this style of beer, because we don't get a lot of it in the West Coast, is you get all of your hops up front and barely any at the end. You get sugar at the end, and you get all of your hop flavor and aroma up front and none of the bitterness towards the end.
Yeah, some booze at the end, though, too.
Like this sweetness, yeah.
This has a little bit of a kick to me. Like, I can taste the alcohol.
They should pass a law that any IPA needs to be East Coast style IPA.
Come on.
Agreed.
You should just move.
Well, this place was really cool, too. Dallas was kind of mentioning it. I think I took some pictures, and if they're not on the website, we're going to put them on the website. It had like a coffee shop feel, and there were two locations, and we went to the one in Midtown. And it felt like you're in a coffee shop, and Dallas and I were commenting on like the decor and the tables, and it was just like a cool, very laid back vibe. There's board games, like, and granted we were there in the middle of the day on a weekday.
They had Settlers of Catan.
How was the ambiance, Jeff?
It was great, but it was like we walked into a family run coffee shop, that kind of vibe.
They had Risk. We thought about starting a game of Risk, but
how drunk would you be by the end of that?
And it was closed, but right next door, they have this outdoor beer garden. I mean, same property. It was raining a bit that day we were there. But, you know, on a nice day in St. Louis, this would be a really cool place to hang out.
They had a huge beer garden. So I think they know how to have fun there.
Was it Urban Chestnuts Beer Garden or just a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
And this is, I don't know the volume, but this is probably, if I had to guess based on how much visibility I saw of beers around St. Louis, this is probably the second or third biggest craft brewer in St. Louis.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed like Four Hands might be a little bigger, but it's close.
So I have a preference to West Coast style IPAs that have like that bitterness and hoppiness towards the end that kind of drowns the initial flavor that you taste. But I like this for a change. I like how unique it is and that upfront flavor of the hops and the sweetness towards the end. I do agree with Dallas, though. It has a little bit of that sweetness, that kind of that boozy taste towards the end, that if people don't like that, they're going to be off-put by this beer. But I really enjoy the change of season on this kind of style of beer.
More than a boozy taste at the end, the one thing I would say I don't love about it is I get a little bit of the dry mouth at the end. Little cotton mouth that I think I tend to get when I drink IPAs. I never, when I was young and I drank Sierra Nevada, I'd get that a lot, where I just felt kind of dried out after drinking it. But
I think that helps to bring out the hop flavor too. But I think Joel's initial comment is correct, that it's the hops at the beginning, but this does have a dry finish. It's a little bitter, and I think this is where some people that don't like IPAs drink a beer like this and they think it's bitter. But I think you guys are right. It's a good change of pace from what we're used to.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
So comments this week. Today was the first day that Jeff and I didn't actually physically schedule a beer. One of them slipped through, and it's a Sam Adams was the beer of the day
Boston
today.
Boston Locker.
The original.
Yes, and so we wrote this, one of us did, in 2007, or maybe even earlier, I'm not sure. And we said that the worst part of it was the Boston Lager has a strong body and smooth aftertaste. You know, beer has changed
evolved.
A little
it's
bit.
It's evolved.
For sure. It's not, you can't say that Sam Adams has a strong body anymore. But this went out and Team Cone Ocala posted, pass it along, some parents might need it. I don't know what I don't know exactly what that's referring to, but we appreciate the post. And we don't get a whole lot of comments on the website, but everyone should, you know, post your comments on the beer. And that is definitely...
always welcome.
I'm kind of embarrassed of that description, but oh well.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things where 7, 8 years ago, however long, it's been 9 years ago, I don't know.
Look, if we're in Vegas and we're sitting at a blackjack table, I'll drink Sam Adams all night long because it's the best beer they have. But it's, I don't, you know, it's a quality beer when you're first getting into this. But our palates have evolved a lot since then.
I chuckled when I read it.
It's pretty funny.
Please don't judge us.
You're losing, right. Beer of the day is losing credibility on this.
Okay, Tim Sotek posted a picture of Alpine Duet.
Alpine Duet?
Yeah. And he says, I had been waiting many years to try it, and it didn't disappoint. Crisp, well-balanced, and a little bitterness. So I've had that one before, liked that a lot.
Very
so,
good.
Tim posts on our Facebook page every single day. He posts a picture of the beer of his beer of the day, the one he's drinking,
nice.
And post a little picture of it. But if anyone wants to post a beer of the day, anyone can. You just go to the website at the very top on the right hand side. You click add a beer, and you type in the name of the beer, pick the brewery, and write a description of it. Upload a photo, and your beer can be the beer of the day. So if you add a beer, we're going to feature it as the beer of the day. And it goes out to everybody on our Facebook page. We have over 6,000 people there. On Twitter, we have over 6,000 people there. It gets emailed to all the beer of the day people that have signed up on the website or sent to their phone by text message. So it gets blasted out to everybody every single day. And so if you have a beer that you like and you want to feature and we haven't done it before, post it up there, and we will make it the beer of the day. If you do that, if you make add a beer to the website, then you get to be added to the drawing to receive the very first beer of the day pint glass.
I need to do that then.
Whoever posts beers of the day in the month of March gets entered into the drawing and to receive the very first, the coveted beer of the day
first
pint
edition.
Glass.
It's not quite true. I took one out of the box.
Don't ruin it.
We're going to edit that out.
I mean, I stole it.
Doesn't help.
All right. Next beer. We have the Incarnation IPA. 6.5%. So I got off the plane at 12:30 at night, arrived in St. Louis. Got in the cab, went to the hotel. I walk in the door, and Jeff hands me this beer. And
Jeff, why did you hand Dallas this beer?
Well, because I bought several beers at the store, and this was the best one, and I knew Dallas would like this. As soon as he got there, I knew he needed a beer.
That's right.
Britton's face is imagine what mine looked like when I took a whiff of this bad boy.
Dang, this has got some insane hop funk flavor in a good way.
I'm gonna die.
Did I mention this is from Four Hands Brewery?
You did not.
I don't know.
You know what it smells like?
Incarnation, 6.5% Four Hands.
I know exactly what it smells like. Imagine this. It's August. It's the California State Fair.
Dude!
And you walk into the sheep area exhibit.
I was going to say, when you looked at me and I looked at you and we locked eyes and you looked at me very seriously and said, do you know what this smells like?
You guys.
Joel's right here.
I'm right here. You guys want to take a moment?
We had a moment. I was going to say a barn. A
livestock exhibit at the state fair.
It totally does.
So Britton kind of grew up in a barn and then I rescued her.
I'm sure her mother will love that.
How many goats did you have to give away in the arrangement?
I'm sure my mother will not be listening to this podcast. Wow.
It smells like brown sugar and a lot of hop, and I'm liking it. I'm liking the smell.
This beer smells great. If you love hops, this beer smells fantastic. Color-wise, this is another one of these golden yellow color and two fingers of very foamy white head. The beers all look the same tonight.
And here's the thing. If someone told me this was a lager, I'd believe them. There's nothing that would say this is going to be a super hoppy, IPA style beer.
Take a whiff.
But just smell it and you know.
Yeah.
Well, I had enough.
Actually, I short poured you a little bit. You want more?
No, I'm good.
You loved it so much. You just needed one sip.
I just, I want to cherish that forever.
You need a dump bucket?
No, Dal's going to finish it for me.
So that's this tastes a lot like Truth IPA from Cincinnati, but it's a little bit more sweeter and has a little bit less of a bitterness, a bitter dryness at the end.
This is very West Coast. Like, this is like a lot of the West Coast IPAs we have regularly.
If someone said this beer is from San Diego, I'd believe it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a little that soapy finish, which you get from a lot of West Coast IPAs. It's very bitter. I could see why Steve wouldn't like it. It's like the definition of the beer that he hates.
But it's pretty heavily carbonated, which I like. I think it's interesting looking at the can. I've never seen this on a beer can that they offer pairings, and they say fruit pairings, and they say that this would go well with mild curry,
mutton,
and grilled red meat. No, it doesn't say that.
I really enjoyed that beer. I just wish there was more than 1.7 ounces between all of us.
So Joel mentioned that he regrets that we couldn't bring back more than one can of it. But it was an adventure bringing the beers back, for sure.
You want to tell a story?
No, you go for it.
All right, I'll tell the story, and you add in whatever you want to add in. So, you know, Dallas and I are there several days, and he mentioned this earlier, like every place we got beer. I think every single brewery we bought one or two or sometimes four beers, and they're piling up in the back of our rental car. The last morning, you know, the whole time in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, dang, how are we going to get all this home? But we'll figure it out. We're smart guys. The day we have to leave.
Debatable.
Yeah. We still don't have a plan, but it's just like, we'll just put it off to the last day and then we'll figure it out. So the morning we leave, we're in Kansas City, and we'll have Kansas City beers on the next show. But we're in Kansas City and we have to drive back to St. Louis, catch our flight.
Right.
And so we're in Kansas City. We check out of our hotel, got a ton of beer. Like, we got to make two trips to the car because we had moved stuff into the hotel room to like sort it out, make sure we have multiple of everything. And so we go to a FedEx Kinko store in Kansas City.
I think the original goal was to just FedEx everything back.
Yeah. We're going to ship it. So we go to the store, and, you know, Dallas is too honest. And we walk in and the lady says, well, what are you shipping? And he says, a bunch of beer. And she says, well, I can't help you with that. That's like not legal. And so we're like looking at each other, and she says, but I can sell you the supplies. So we buy the supplies, and we buy these like double-sided boxes. And then the whole time I'm thinking, well, let's just package up the beer. And then she's not going to ship it for us, but we'll go to another FedEx, not tell them what it is, and they'll ship it.
Right.
But that kind of fell through. And we buy the supplies, we go back to the car, load it up. It takes like 45 minutes, probably, would you say, to load this up?
Yeah, and we're in a windstorm. And so we bought like two rolls of bubble wrap.
Yeah, we wrap every beer in bubble wrap.
And then load it in the box and make sure we have the same box, basically. Two boxes, and Jeff has one beer, I have the same beer. Because we were gonna ship one to LA, one up here. And then we're like, well, why don't we just check it? You know, on Southwest Airlines, you get bags fly free, right? You can have a second bag for free.
And we've given Southwest plenty of advertising on this podcast.
Yeah, so it wasn't a bag. It was a cardboard box, but they took it.
So we walk into the airport, though, and Dallas and I are in line together, but we go to different stands to check our luggage, and I'm not very honest. And it looks suspicious when you have a box, a big box, and the lady says, well, what are you shipping? What's in the box? And I wasn't honest, and I said, well, it's a bunch of books. Because it's heavy. I mean, we walk into the airport, like, struggling to carry these boxes. They're so heavy.
They're very heavy.
And I told her they're books, and she gives me this look like, yeah, right. You know, but she didn't question it.
She doesn't care.
Yeah. She doesn't care. Dallas, I overhear him at his counter, and he's telling the lady, oh, yeah, I got a bunch of beer. And then he starts getting all the questions.
I said, she asked me, like, what's in the box? I say, well, it's beer. And she says, how is it packaged? I'm like, well, it's all packaged very well. It's all bubble wrapped, very secure. And so she's like, okay, well, if this box, if the beer breaks and it gets beer on everyone's luggage, then Southwest Airlines has to replace everyone's luggage and their clothes and whatever gets ruined. I'm like, no way that's happening. It's going to be fine. Very well packaged, bubble wrap. No way nothing's going to happen. She's like, all right. So she let it go through, and they throw them on the conveyor belt. I'm like,
Yeah, she could barely lift up the box. I mean, I watched her have to lift mine up, and, you know, she just has to turn it around and put it on the little conveyor belt, and it was a struggle, I could tell.
Did you see how much it weighed?
No.
Because you put it, like, when you put them on the things, it'll weigh it.
Yeah, I didn't see, but it's supposed to be less than 50 pounds, but it may have been more than that.
So, well, we thought worst case scenario, like, we'd have to pay for it being a extra heavy bag. But we didn't pay any extra.
So it was always, you know, I'm back here in Sacramento, and Jeff already texted me and said, it arrived fine. But he was a direct flight from St. Louis to Los Angeles. I had a layover in Phoenix, which means they have to take the box and put it on the other plane.
Yeah, it was a different plane, right? So they had to transfer juggle planes, around.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there I arrive in Sacramento. It's 11 o'clock at night, and I'm waiting at the luggage, and it's taking forever. It's a long time. It half hour goes by, and everyone's standing around. The luggage isn't out. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I'm already like, you know, I'm sweating it, thinking, what's going to happen here? So anyway, finally the luggage starts to come out, and I'm waiting for it. I'm like, okay, well, worst case scenario, the box just doesn't even show up. Everything broke, and they just threw it out, and that was it, right? So finally I see the box. It comes out, and, you know, I'm cringing as it falls down and hits in the thing, and then comes around the conveyor belt on the baggage claim. And the box is beat to hell pretty bad. There's like dents and stuff, and I see like tape on it that wasn't there when I packaged it. I'm like, but I get it. I pick it up, and it's solid. I'm detecting a little hint of moisture, but it's been raining outside, so I'm like, okay, you know, it's probably okay. It could have been worse for sure. And so I was pretty happy with the result, but one of the beers did break, and so Jeff's next week is going to have one beer that I do not have because it broke. And yeah, it was,
you know, I was so concerned about this when I was at the St. Louis airport. I, you know, was at my gate, and I actually filmed on my camera the little cart driving out to the plane because I could see the box on the cart. And I was so impressed, though, like the guy who loaded it up, he was so gentle. I was watching him load the box, and I was so happy because I think, you know, airline people have this reputation for just throwing crap around. Yeah. And he gently lifted it up and set it on the conveyor belt that loads onto the plane. And I knew then I was pretty good.
What you don't see is a literary enthusiast.
What you don't see is the guy inside the plane who then throws it to the back of the plane.
Could be. But he was trying to protect those books. You're right.
So we shipped some beer from Cincinnati, and they asked us what it was, and we shipped it. We didn't put it on the plane. And we said, well, those are gifts. They're going to be really good gifts for our friends. And they didn't say anything.
They don't care.
Yeah.
We showed up with a fully taped up box already.
As long as you don't tell them that it's the wrong thing, they don't give a damn.
I told him, but luckily I had enough clothes and stuff packed in there, so just soaked it all up.
Because I think they're supposed to do is inspect the box. You know, there's nothing wrong with shipping it. They're supposed to inspect it to see how it's shipped.
Dallas,
how it's packaged.
You've been smelling like IPAs for like 3 weeks now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to run that load through one more time. Okay, well, that's a good story. Let's get into the next beer. Second beer from Four Hands. This is called Constellation. This is a Brett IPA, Brettanomyces, with Galaxy Hops.
What did you call me?
That's your new nickname. Brettanomyces.
Terrible nickname.
It's fitting.
Sounds like a disease.
Nicknames should be shorter, not longer. They're
wild and different every time.
6.1%. Four Hands. So...
we didn't say much about Four Hands. Well, this was our last brewery.
This is by far the cloudiest beer we've had tonight.
It is. It actually looks different than all the other beers.
And it's shocking because
it's
lightest color, but it's the most cloudy, and you cannot see your hand through it, even though it is a very like lemon light color.
Yep.
I love the aroma on this.
Lot of head, a lot of white head, very low carbonation, it seems like. Although I can't really see too much because it's so cloudy.
What did we have recently with Galaxy Hops? Was it one of the clown shoes we had?
Galactica, yeah.
I remember to like it, so.
That was an IPA.
Yeah. Well,
this is an IPA. Yeah.
You liked that one.
With Brett, I mean, it should have a lot of funkiness to it as well.
Here's the weird thing about this beer is it is hoppy and fruity, and if someone... like told me it looked like a Hefeweizen, I would be like shocked because it does not taste like it looks.
Oh, it definitely looks like it could be a German Hef or.
It doesn't look like an IPA, I'll tell you that.
It reminds me of one of the Clown Shoes beers, the white ale, right? The first one we had.
Yep.
Clementine.
Absolutely.
With the Chambly yeast, the flavor is very similar to that.
Very similar. I agree.
Joel has had a hard-on for Chambly yeast ever since podcast.
That's why I brought it up.
But it doesn't have all the like fruity flavors and that were in the Clementine. This is a totally different beer.
Yep.
It looks like it, but the flavor is completely different.
I wouldn't say it's completely different. I think it's very similar.
I think it's significantly different. It doesn't have that fruitiness to it.
The Clementine was a little bit sweeter. I mean, sorry, a little bit more fruity and fresh. But this is it actually is a little bit similar when it comes to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And the Galaxy hops come out like really intense on this. And
this is a lot hoppier than Clementine.
What's Clementine had all like the orange peel and coriander.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and this has an IPA flavor to it.
What's the other beer we had? The one after Clementine? Was it like
The Tramp Stamp?
For Brett, this is more sour than it is funky. A lot of times with Brett, you'll get more funky flavors.
Yeah, I don't get much funk here.
Yeah.
On the nose, I was expecting some funk, and it didn't come through.
Yeah.
It's an interesting beer. It's quite hoppy. It has a little bit of the Brett sourness, but it's not overly funky.
Yeah.
And, it's interesting.
I'm a fan.
I don't know if this makes sense, but it has kind of a gummy, fruity taste to it.
Gummy? Like gummy bear?
Like fruit stripe.
A little bit.
I was
going
to say fruit stripe.
Like fruit. It's not fruity, but it's like a candy sweetness, but a little sour as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. All right, well, let's move into the last beer of the night. We have the Bonafide Russian Imperial Stout, 8.5%.
Bum, bum, bum.
We're going big here.
Motor oil.
Oh, wow, that is
Pennzoil.
It's very rare that the biggest most alcoholic beer we have is 8.5%.
It's also very rare that when you pour a beer, even the head is dark.
Well, on some of these stouts, it's like tan colored, but this is one of the darkest, darkest heads I've
ever seen. Smell that.
It pour. You know what it reminds me of? Tenfitty.
It smells like coffee.
Oh, it does amazing. Smell like coffee.
So this beer and the previous one, Dallas and I did not have. You know, when we were there, this brewery was had a lot of good energy. It was kind of like a bar. You know, we went to this. It's kind of like a bar that we went to at night, but they didn't have either one of these on tap, and so we didn't have these at all. So this is cool that we're trying them for the first time.
It smells like black licorice flavored coffee.
See, I was gonna say it smells like, you know, those hard coffee candies. That's what it smells like to me.
I get like coffee grounds.
Yeah, grounds. Yeah, not like a cup of coffee.
I can't smell anything. No, that is so weak. Like, it's very pungent, you know. There's no doubt that there's a bunch of coffee flavor in there.
Smells fantastic.
But I get a lot of vanilla also. This is coffee and vanilla.
Wow.
Wow.
Like vanilla extract. Oof. Vanilla beans.
For an imperial stout that has coffee in it, this is like what you are wanting to have when you pick out a beer of this style at the store. You're like, oh, I'm going to try an imperial stout that has a little bit of coffee in it. Like, oh, yeah, this beer nailed that. That category
does
for
it,
sure.
Does it claim anything coffee on the label?
Yeah,
does it,
coffee and vanilla beans. All right.
So good.
Super drinkable. Like most Russian Imperial Stouts to me
are 12%.
Like, it's 12% and it's work to get through.
Yeah. Yes.
This is not work.
No.
No. It's fantastic.
This is
they
dessert,
have pairings
though.
On the bottle too.
Tell me you guys wouldn't want to put this on ice cream and just try it. Like,
you could have this with anything.
Make a beer float. Andy and I tried that a couple times.
You don't even need the ice cream for this one. Just drink it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all you need.
The nose on it was so pungent. I was worried that I was going to be like overpowered and blown away. And then as soon as you taste it, it's so smooth with this. It's just incredible flavor. I was worried before I tried it. And now I'm like, we're going to do more than one bottle.
Well, we don't have more than
one. So here's the thing. We're drinking this beer probably at like 43 or 45, somewhere around there, degrees. Like, I would actually want this a little bit colder than what it is. I mean, I agree that this kind of beer would probably taste better at that higher, like, temperature-wise. But, like, I just wish it was colder because it would taste more like ice cream to me, like a good coffee vanilla ice cream.
I just get so much dark chocolate in this, and I'm looking at the bottle. It says to pair it with dark chocolate, but after I see that, that's the main flavor I pick up on.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Dark chocolate, little coffee,
vanilla,
a lot of coffee, a lot of vanilla. Yeah. I mean, there's no little in this beer. It's very right out there in front. There's no subtlety here.
It also says to pair it with cigars, and I think we're gonna need to do that.
Man, I wish I had.
What's like the mud pie?
Oh,
pie.
Yeah.
It's got the coffee in it and stuff.
Yeah.
I wish we had like four more of these beers.
You know, they had another beer here that I know at least Andy would like, and I wish we could have got this, but it would definitely qualify as a strange brew. It was called the Pigasus. Do you remember that, Dallas? Pigasus.
This was the last brewery of the night. My memory from this place is hazy.
It could have been Peggy, but we'll just call it Pigasus.
It has a pig on the label, and it's a porter that's made with rye and smoked malt, but also maple syrup.
Oh, I do remember that.
And I didn't really enjoy the beer that much. It was just very interesting, though. Like, if we had that, it could have been a strange brew. It tasted like bacon, like, and maybe that's why it's bacon. Called Pigasus, but it tastes like bacon and maple syrup.
I think it was one of the best bacon beers I've had. And you don't think there's that many, but in my time, I've had a few bacon beers.
Really?
And that one was pretty good, actually. It kind of had the voodoo donut type of thing going on.
Yeah.
Back to this Four Hands one, I feel like a lot of times when I have a coffee stout, something's overdone on it, whether it's like the roasty aspect or whether it's just tasting like Folgers to me. Sometimes I like stouts are my favorite, and I drink a lot of them all the time. And so sometimes when I see coffee ones, I approach it carefully just because I'm always like, oh man, they're overdone. This one though is perfect. It's subtle and smooth and fantastic.
It's more chocolate than coffee, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd agree. But
definitely the coffee is noticeable.
The coffee is way more apparent on the aroma.
Yes.
True.
And then it's chocolate on the flavor, you know, when you drink it. But it just pairs so well. Like, it's so drinkable.
I think if there's a drawback on the chocolate porters in general, it's that they get a little too roasted sometimes. They get that kind of burnt taste.
It's not...
This it does not hear on this beer.
No.
I think this is served well by the fact that it's only 8.5%.
Yeah.
Most of them get a little heavy, and this one's not doing that. It's just laying back and just being as bold and chocolatey as it wants to be.
And honestly, when I saw, I was like, oh, Russian Imperial Stout with coffee and vanilla beans. The one that I always think of is Ballast Point, and I can't stand that beer. It's completely overworked. It's totally like not mellow or anything that
screw Ballast Point. They will not serve you more than six beers for seven people at a time. Never going there again.
Yeah, Victory, but I'd really like to do this to beer
barrel aged. Add like 2-3% alcohol. It's pretty smooth right now, but just have a little smoothie creaminess to it with a little more alcohol. I think it would make this a really delicious beer.
I agree.
I think it's already a pretty delicious beer.
It reminds me a lot of, I think, the Coronado Old Scallywag, where that was a barrel-aged beer of this, you know, similar style. And I feel like this beer could turn it into a beer like that. That beer was amazing. And this beer is a great base for a beer like that.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, Andy, you want to recap the beers we tried tonight, and then we'll figure out what our favorite beer of the day is.
Yeah, so we started off with the Schaffley beers. We had the Saison, the Grapefruit IPA, and the Oatmeal Stout. Then we moved on to the Urban Chestnut beers. We had the Apotheosis French Style Saison, the Stalipa, and then we moved on to our Four Hands beers, the Incarnation IPA, the Constellation, and the Bonafide Russian Imperial Stout.
All right, let's spin the wheel here and figure out who's going to pick first.
Oh,
who is it?
It's Steve.
Woo, okay. Winner.
The laptop was blocking my view of the wheel.
Well, no surprise. I'm going with the final beer, the Bonafide Russian Imperial from Four Hands. Very, very good Imperial Stout. It wasn't even up for debate with me. There was nothing else that came close to this beer tonight, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, just to be different, I'm going to choose the Incarnation IPA. This thing is hoppy as all hell. I mean, it is, I feel right at home drinking that beer, being from California, West Coast IPAs. And I got off the plane, got to the hotel, Jeff handed me that beer, and I drank it, and I said, man, if the rest of the weekend is going to be like this, this is going to be a really good weekend. So Incarnation's my beer. Jeff?
I think Dallas just stole everything that I was going to say about that beer. But I'm going to go with Incarnation also because...
Of course you are.
It was between that and the Bonafide. But Incarnation, I actually had it on tap prior to me buying it at the store. And I had it... I was actually in St. Louis a couple days before Dallas got there. And I had it on tap and I thought it was the best beer that I had. And that's why I ended up buying it. And it, you know, it's my first really good St. Louis beer. I loved it. I thought the hoppiness was great. So I'm going with Incarnation as well.
So 49% of me wants to pick the Bonafide Russian Imperial Stout. Unfortunately, 51% of me wants to pick the Constellation IPA with the Bread of Minuses and Galaxy Hops. I don't know what to say about the beer other than that it was just good.
Just
it really was. It was. And
was it a good beer?
So, yeah, it was just good, and there wasn't like a super descript thing I could say about it. Like, it was enjoyable and it had a lot of intricate qualities. I mean, I wouldn't call it complex, but it had a little bit of the Brett, a little bit of the Galaxy, a little bit of the IPA, you know, they all work together perfectly.
It seemed to me that the hoppiness and the little Brett sourness mixed together, that was very unique. Pretty good.
I've never had it done that well, so that's my pick.
So for me, this podcast was a little bit of a crap sandwich. I really liked the first beer, and I really liked the last beer, and everything in between was hard to choke down. So I really like the Schlafly Saison. Yep. I really enjoyed that beer. It's super drinkable. I liked the lemon aspect of it, but this bona fide Russian Imperial Stout's right up my alley. I love it. I love this beer. So that's what I'm going with for my beer of the day.
All right. So first of all Four Hands Brewing Company beers I enjoyed thoroughly, but my consolation prize goes to Bonafide, but my primary vote goes to Constellation. And I think that Galaxy Hops, that's a really well-balanced beer. I always have this like vision in my mind, if I was stuck on an island somewhere, what the hell would I want out of all these beers? What do I want to be stuck with if I had the rest of my life to drink one beer? And I would definitely choose that beer over the other ones from Four Hands Brewing. So that's my choice. So we pretty much got a split decision here.
Yeah, big time.
Each one gets two votes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to drink them all again and vote again.
But they were all from Four Hands Brewing.
They were.
Yeah, that's true.
That's huge. A good call.
So it's the Four Hands is the winner.
I give it four thumbs up.
How did you do that?
She has it. She's married to me. I just got to do whatever she says. Oh, here's two hands.
She has control of four hands. That's right. What are we listening to?
This is called the St. Louis Blues.
You know, we didn't even mention, I was just going to say, after we went to Four Hands, Dallas and I went to this blues place, BB's. Great blues music.
It was fantastic. I took some... The guitar player was just kick-ass. He played a... He probably had a $40,000 guitar. 67 Les Paul. Anyway, but he was lefty, and he would play the guitar upside down, like Jimi Hendrix. And he was fantastic. So I sent Joel some videos, guitar player. And we had a good time.
The whole trip was good. Everybody was so friendly on this trip. Wouldn't you say, Dallas? Everybody was like, it's something about going to the Midwest. Everybody was so welcoming and friendly, and they were all so interested that we were on this beercation.
Yeah, it's not California.
They wanted your money.
No, it wasn't that.
It wasn't that. Everyone very, money. Very friendly.
Cincinnati's like that too.
California like people are only nice to you if you are paying them.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, we had a good time, for sure. So next week, we have the other half of our voyage was the Kansas City show. So we'll have Kansas City beers next week. We also went into Kansas and went to a brewery there. We stopped at some places in between St. Louis and Kansas City, and we'll fit those in on some other show. But next week will be the Kansas City show. All right, we'll see you next time. For Andy Hamilton, Britton and Joel Miner, Steve Williamson, and Jeff Miller in Pasadena, I'm Dallas Hulliker. We'll see you next time. I hate to see that. Beer of the Day podcast.
Cut that out. I didn't know that. You posted it perfectly. Cut that out.
I didn't know there was singing in here.
Not bad.
Just let it play out. You posted it.
It was
to
perfect.
The singing.
It was good. It was good.
But I didn't say the last line. I posted it.
You don't need to.
Last line.
Oh, mommy.
Feeling tomorrow. I'm leaving all this in. Like I feel today.
Where I feel tomorrow. Shakes.
Like I feel. The camera shut off. Pack my trunk
and make my getaway. Oh, this is definitely about St. Louis.
It sounds a little Nolans to me. Nolans.
Summertime,
and living's easy.
Steve's rubbing his eye, and Andy's asleep.
Oh, hey!